worried about being stuck in the school, which I don't think is the total and best program for rehabilitation. The school has been in existence for 7 years, and as far as I know, no one has graduated. There are, about 18 students have returned, and there are 4 more outstanding. We don't know whether they're coming back or not. Classes haven't started yet. They should start next week. It looks like I'll be teaching carpentry or something vocationally oriented. My roommate expressed the need for physical exercises here, and so maybe I'll get into doing some of that too, which wouldn't hurt me a bit. Well, we hear now that some of the rich people in town are decided that they want to start a rehabilitation center for the blind, which we're going to help out advising and so forth to get it underway and so this sort of thing. It's going to be real interesting. We have a copy of the bylaws that we're going to have to read real soon of the society which is going to start this center. And it looks like it could be a real good thing, but it also could be rather short-sighted. The same group who wants to start this has started a polio rehabilitation center, and my feeling is that if they aren't careful, they're going to have to find funds to perpetuate these things, and that perhaps they ought to tap the government in a rather serious way. But this is obviously an excellent idea. It's a resource that's desperately needed here in the country, and they're going to intend to get in people who will help with what comes under the heading of rehabilitation, which means teaching necessities for living and getting a person in shape to be trained to take a job and survive. And this is a real interesting operation. It's what both Marilyn and I are interested in, and what I feel is really important. Another project we've had in mind is publicity. We've got several kids now using the cane, and we have a lot more who are in the class all the time learning to use it. And we figured we might as well start educating the public as to the use of the cane. So I've asked Lady Victoria if we couldn't get some newspaper articles and magazine articles and television and radio interested in it. And she said, fine, well, they keep talking about it and talking about it, but we don't hear much about it. Well, finally, today, when I was not about to get up and go downstairs, the TV guys came, and I figured that my roommate knew what was to be done, and that if Sandra and Merlin were around, they could straighten things out too. But my roommate didn't say a word. Sandra and Marilyn were out in class, and so the director sent them away, which wasn't the smartest thing I ever heard of, but that's about par for the course. But they'll be back tomorrow, we hope. This is sort of how the placement program is going. We've talked to several who say they can't do anything, say their parents are helpless. And this isn't true. Their parents are, or one parent at least, is very competent and capable. A couple who are very anxious to work but haven't got any ideas at all. One who says he wants to have a store, but he doesn't think that he can possibly do it where he is. It's out in an agricultural area. people buy on credit all the time and don't pay their bills. And he says he doesn't see how he can possibly survive. Although he had a store before he came to the school, and before his father died. And we figure that this is partly a rather large excuse, and he doesn't seem to have any notion as to how he could possibly find out what other store owners do about people buying on credit. So I don't know what we're going to do with him, but we'll find out certainly soon enough. He is one of our problem people. Listen, I'm untangling the wire here at the same time. He's not the strongest person in the world, although he's probably pretty strong. He's not very healthy. He always complains of having headaches or not being well, stomach trouble, and so forth, which leads you to suspect that there's something going on that we don't know about. He's been examined many times and apparently has been given a clean bill of health by all the medical people around. And the director whispered in my ear psychosis once. And I don't think it's true, but we'll have a look-see at what happens. He's a bright enough person. He's a little lazy. He likes to have other people do things for him. But he cannot be employed by anyone else as far as I'm concerned, because he just isn't going to be reliable enough. One interesting thing, whenever you go into a barrio, whenever I go anywhere, is the overwhelming ignorance and incredulity that a blind person can actually do anything. You go walking along with a friend of yours, and Skip and I were working on trying to find the best way that I could find my way to his house from the place where the Publico taxi stopped. Taxis run like buses here. They have lines they run on, although they'll stop any place along the line. And so when I was not, you know, walking with Skip using his elbow, the people thought that Skip was being quite cruel or something, not helping me, and so forth. And there was one day when Sandra and I were on the mound, we're walking down by the sea, going down to get something to eat at one of the seaside restaurants, and there were some holes along the side there, and I wanted to see them. So I didn't, you know, wouldn't know where they were and wouldn't push my students into them. And so Saturn took me up to one of them, and I stuck my cane in, and it was wiggling around. And the people who were sitting on the wall by the sea just thought that was terrible. They thought she was going to push me in, and, you know, thought that was just awful. They were, you know, upset about it. And you can tell some of the people here a million times that you don't need their help, and that you'd rather be left alone, and that the kids are learning and they're in class and they don't want to be bothered, and they'll still follow you and tell you turn right, turn left, step up, and so forth. And they have, it's very hard to get across to a lot of people that that we actually can do some of the things we can by ourselves. And this is going to be one of the biggest problems in the employment task that we have ahead of us. Getting to get a bit into the psychology of some of the people here, I think that there are two who have noticeably changed since Christmas. One of them is a woman who's around 30, and she is a very religious person, and perpetually was protesting that she didn't really want to work for anything more than what she needed to. She wanted to give her life to those who needed it. she wanted to lend her services and so forth. And any time you talk to her, you'd get this whole routine over and over again, and she repeated herself, and there was hardly anything ever new. But late, and she hardly knew where to start looking, or what to start doing, or what it meant to be to have initiative, and what direction she was going in. But lately we've given her a bit of direction, and she's picked it up, and she's gone ahead with it, and she's written a letter to apply for a job, and she's really pushing the director and myself to help her get a hold of the things she needs to have before she can get to work on finding a job. She's also got the president of the Rotary Club involved at this point to help her get the connections she needs to find a job. Jobs are gotten by connections around here, and it's going to be hard to break that. But even if they are, I suppose the person has to be able to do what he has to be able to do. And Dolores, I'm sure, can do a whole lot. Very capable, very active, physically and mentally capable person. We have another fellow who's almost perpetually sick, and he had stomach aches and headaches, and he frequently wouldn't show up to classes, and he was always making excuses. He always said, "You know what happened? You know what happened? What really happened was," and he'd give you this whole long song and dance about why he turned left at a street corner instead of turning right. He was a very intelligent guy, and I've been pushing him to finish his class in cane travel, and I've been pushing him also in the fact that he's going to graduate this year, despite the fact that he doesn't feel ready, and he says he wants to go into grocery store business. He came up with a problem about credit, you know, selling in the campo. Crops are seasonal, and therefore people buy on credit, and the person is apt to lose a whole lot of money. He at first saw this as an obstacle that he couldn't possibly overcome. But I told him that he had to talk to somebody who was in the business and see how they handled the credit problem. He at first thought I should do this, and then slowly it became obvious that he should do it. And at this point, he seems to have picked it up and feel it as his responsibility, and feels this idea of the grocery store as being a real possibility. And it seems to me, along with this, has come self-assurance, and he hasn't been sick at all lately. I wonder, we sort of thought it might be psychosomatic in a way. I wonder if it is. We'll certainly have the rest of the year to find out. But it would be real nice if these two at least turned out, along with a couple of others who are pretty damn competent and could do things without a whole lot of help, if they only change their attitudes just a bit. My morning classes are in mobility. I still have several students whom I've been working with ever since September and who haven't completed the course. I'm not sure that they will ever complete it to my satisfaction, and I'm not sure that I'm doing the right thing by stringing them on. I haven't been the most basic teacher, in the sense that I've always started my courses with the assumption that people are going to be able to learn fairly quickly, and that they can learn in that they've had some acquaintance with forms of things. But when you're dealing with a person who's been blind from birth, who hasn't had the experience that other people have had, oftentimes they don't really know what a corner of a street is like. And they don't realize the importance of organizing their thoughts and their sequence of their operations. And so it is that I get kids who I've been working with for 5 months now who get lost on a street corner, who don't know that when you cross the street and want to continue on the same street, that and there's no sidewalk, and you're going to have the curving on the same side as you did on the other side of the street. They don't think much, they don't analyze much. This may be symbolic of the culture, but it's also symbolic of the problem. Oftentimes a person hasn't had the experience And what this usually means is that people have babied him and done things for him, and hence he hasn't had to think for himself, or better yet, perhaps, hasn't been allowed to think for himself. And therefore, when I come along and demand that he thinks for himself, he feels like I'm a big imposition on him. And so we have emotional repercussions as well as intellectual ones, and the kid still has to learn to walk. I have considered working at a camp like we have at home, which some of the volunteers have set up for kids from the compo, and going to bring in some city folk. And I've tried to enroll some of the students here in this camp, and the kids seem interested, but I haven't heard anything from them. They haven't been back begging me after I told them there was a possibility of it, so I don't know what their real interests are. Likewise, I'm not sure that they're going to take them at the camp, but we'll see. They may take them on the condition that I work there, and I may work there anyway. I don't know for sure. But this would be a possibility for part of the summer. I've also thought of going around from village to village where some of the students live and try and help them to set themselves up in something and get them going. Another project that you've been following, well, let me take up with that again. Another fella, this guy was partially sighted. This guy, another guy now, Australia, who's totally blind, was interested in setting up a grocery type store up in the rural area where he lives. And he was getting pretty excited about this, and he actually began to do some thinking. He's a pretty sharp guy if he wants to think about things, but he's also a pretty lazy guy and would love to have people do things for him. So I sent him home spring to talk around. He came up with this one problem. He said, what about people who want to buy on credit? I mean, after all, in the rural area, you have a seasonal income, and people want to buy things on credit and pay later. And he didn't see how he could run a negotiation or a business on that. And he's right, but I told him that, there are other people who have stores like that, and why don't you go talk to them and see what they've done? And he said, fine. Well, he came back and he said, well, there's no money in my little area up there, so I really can't put up a business. And he's probably right, but his next statement was, so I'm ready for anything you can get for me. So this is the kind of attitude I have to deal with, and we're trying to do educational work and letting the kids find their own work. The one woman we got placed was beginning to show signs of boredom and so forth, and she's thinking of leaving the work in December and going home and setting up a little stand of her own, selling things. She seems to have outside income. We don't know where from. There are suspicions that she lends money at a high rate of interest, but we don't know for sure. But what she says is that she wants to get out of this work and do something that has more to do with people. And she's a very religious woman and wants to lend aid to people and so forth. And this is what seems to interest her. She wanted to be a nurse at one point and all sorts of things like this. I don't see how selling things fits into this picture, but nevertheless, this is what I hear she wants to do. She hasn't yet told me that she's going to leave work in December. I think she's afraid it might hurt my feelings or something. But she has told me that she is interested in putting up a stand and so forth, so we may see some changes here. And another girl whom I have a lot of confidence in many ways, although she's kind of screwed up in some respects, she's an interesting girl. She's very bright, very active, she thinks, and so forth. And she was willing to take the initiative and bounce into something. And she got slapped down because the thing we got into fell through. And so she too came back from vacation and said, so I'm ready for anything you can find me. I have a feeling that's just what she said, and maybe there's something more to her than that, but this is the first reaction, the general reaction that you get here, and one of the problems. I want to fill you in a bit on what's happening at the school. Grr. The head of the UN Work in Rehabilitation came down and did an evaluation of the country's needs in the field of rehabilitation. This included an evaluation of the Crippled Kids Center, where Vince works, the Blind School, the Lepers Colony, and a few of the rehab centers in the hospitals, not rehab centers, but facilities, of which there is a minimal amount. His conclusions for the Blind School were, one, that we should break it up into primary and vocational training school, making the breaking point around age 14. Two, that we should get more trained personnel. Three, that we need equipment, and so forth. His basis was that, well, it's his thesis that when a country puts money into rehabilitating its disabled, that the country stands to gain $10 for every one it invests. Hence, there should be rehabilitation. He also is in favor of an industry for the blind, so to speak, or an industry for disabled persons, and is advocating that goodwill industries come in. This I don't go for. I'm personally biased against it, and I also think that when you have an industry set up for a group of handicapped people, it tends to kill motivation, it tends to make people feel they are different, and hence not want to fight to join society again. He used the term volver a la comunidad, to return to the community. This makes them feel that they are different and hence want to remain in such an institution. On the other hand, it has been said that in a country such as this, where there are so many economic needs and unemployed, that it's hard to consider training a blind person in a technical skill individually. And this is true, and it's also true that an industry for the blind, so to speak, would be a step forward. However, I feel it would be even harder to step beyond this step when the time came to do it. This is one of the problems we have in the States at this point, when there are workshops for the blind and so forth, and many of the people prefer to remain in this sheltered kind of existence rather than taking up a position in society at large. On the other hand, there are blind persons who are not capable of doing a whole lot. They have other disabilities, and this is very apt to be the case in a way. There are all kinds of attendant physical problems and mental problems that can go along with blindness, not to mention what goes along with other handicaps. And in this case, perhaps it's conceivable, perhaps it is a good idea to have some kind of an industry where the person can feel that he's making a dent in something, contributing something, and building his self-esteem and image, and also working at something which is needed or useful. However, I feel that if something like this gets started, it should come afterwards, and I really don't want to get involved in it, so I'm trying hard not to. However, in order to prove my point, I have to, well, I shouldn't really put it that way, but this is one thing. I think that if we're going to avoid operating in this manner, and the country that seems to prefer to operate in the manner of having an industry for the blind and so forth, we're going to have to get up some procedure and means of training blind persons and getting them into the existing job situations. And at this point, this is where I'm thinking of doing in my next year here in the country, is working on this problem specifically. It's getting time for school to close. I know one who's only has his brother left, and he's going to Puerto Rico and has a fixed position over there at this point. And so he has really no place to go home to, and he's a little worried. And he's a real case in itself. He is bright and talented, I think, can learn quickly, is fairly adept with his hands, can type and write, and really would have a fair chance, I think, if he put his mind to finding work and doing something. But he's got an attitude which I don't know where it stems from. He seems to feel that the government owes him something because he's blind, that the people in this country are not ready for the blind to go out and find work and participate. He's not willing to put out the extra effort that it might take to become a member of society and to fill the position. He feels that blind people in general can't do as good a job as sighted people at anything. And I have a feeling that he resents perhaps his blindness or the fact that he's going to have to work if he can find it. He feels oppressed, I think, or paralyzed perhaps by the lack of reception that society will give a blind person here. Also, his lack of knowledge, perhaps, about himself as to what he can do, what he can learn, and his lack of confidence also fill in the picture. I'm trying to get him to think positively and try to figure out how he might find work. And the first thing he told me was, he said, "I know more about the attitudes of people in this country than you do. People aren't ready for us and won't accept a blind person." Now, this may be true. He doesn't realize that it's going to take a lot of effort on his part to get out and break this barrier. He'd much rather rely on governmental aid and the goodwill of people, I think.
Joy.
I don't know if I got on the other side about the resume. I'm having him try and write a resume about what he has done, what he's made of his life, what he has done in his life, and trying to get him to think about his positive assets and put them down in a positive way to sell himself, in a sense. And I hope that something will come of this. He's in kind of a bad situation, and if it does, I think he will respond, because I think he's the kind of person that can respond, unless his attitude of not wanting to get his hands dirty inhibits him from really buckling down and working. People in this country but people generally don't think of work as something that can be enjoyed. They don't think of mastery as a real important thing, as a value. In the United States, we are very achievement-oriented, and here it doesn't matter that much what you've done, what you can do. And I think that for blind people to get ahead, they're going to have to be oriented in this direction, I think. I'm not so sure that we're going to make it. But we're going to give it a try and see what happens. Let me start in with the summer. It's nebulous still. I've got two kids who are going to go to the camp, and I'll be going up for a week. That starts the 29th of June. And I'll be back probably on the 5th of July. Although I don't know for sure. That's going to be interesting. We have to fight the fears of the Peace Corps and the priests who are running the camp first to get them to accept these kids. And there was something on the condition that someone from the school would go and take care of them in the times when they can't participate in what everyone else is doing. So I'm going. I want to go. I'm looking forward to it, really. It's going to be really interesting. I really want to get back into a camp for just a week. Many of the students seem to want to leave, but they can't bring themselves to do it. They don't know where to go when they get out, what to do. And it became clear this afternoon, working with this one fellow on this resume, that people aren't disciplined in thought, in the sense that they can really sit down and think through a problem and figure out where they're going. Sometimes they know the end they want, but they can't picture the means. Or they picture an obstacle that's so great that no means is going to overcome it. Or they figure that it's never been done before and therefore can't be done. Or they're waiting for the government or the church. And the government has an obligation, according to some of them, to help the blind. So the school goes on day after day after day with its ups and downs without really getting anywhere. They have a flash of imagination here and there and then settle back and do nothing with it. Let me try and tell you a little bit about camp. I took two kids up, kids from the school here, one aged 9 and the other aged 13. And we went up about 2 days early and got ourselves settled in, got ourselves a free ride up and so forth. And we sort of had a series of adjustments to make. I didn't know what to expect them to do. I should have, really. And I don't think they knew quite what to expect of the camp, of the staff, and of the other kids. One of them's first reaction was to make comments about the people who kept staring at him, never having seen a blind person before. And we got him by that. He every so often still continued to make comments, but he understood, I think, what was coming off, and he had to. People just didn't know. Many of the blind people in this country are treated specially and aren't given a chance to do things for themselves. So the natural thing for these kids was to demand an awful lot of attention and special privileges, most of which they didn't get or got in perspective with the rest of the group. This tended to be a frustrating experience for both of them, one of whom let his frustration be known in a outspoken manner, crying and so forth, although he used to get over it fairly easily. And the other would withdraw somewhat and sulk, although he too would get over it, but not quite so easily. As a whole, these kids were able to participate in many of the activities. I was surprised they didn't want to participate in a few that they didn't, such as softball and running games and kickball. Well, sports in general were kind of a letdown to them. I don't know how they made out in terms of relationships with other campers. I don't think there were any deep ones formed, but I think the initial barrier between them and the others broke down considerably, and they spent a lot of time with other campers, I think, although they spent a fair amount with each other. They participated in activities they had never participated in before. They went to movies, for one thing. They had a chance to learn some of the native songs. They did handicrafts with cow horn and rubber tubes and things of this sort, which they did fairly well at. They went swimming in a river, and they took a course in health. We didn't have a campfire, although we should have. It would have been a real addition, I think. The health class was amusing. I helped teach it, and we were teaching them to boil water and so forth. And the water the kids got to drink at the camp was not boiled. A little hypocritical on our parts. I think the other campers learned a little bit that blind people can contribute and function in many ways just the way they can and can contribute to a group. I don't know what this will mean, whether any of them have blind brothers and sisters or anything, but I think that it's another step in education of the public.